Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, JonesWalker.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers' Comp and 30 North Investments.
From Commander's Palace Restaurant in the Garden District in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricchiuti. Peter Ricchiuti is Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and economist. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. There's no doubt that Uber and other ride-sharing companies have changed how a lot of us get around. But there are certain times when you need to get somewhere when Uber just won't cut it. Say, for example, you're a bride and need to be driven to your wedding with your father. That's not really a let's take an Uber occasion, nor is a prom, a funeral, or a range of other events where you need a limo or a car service. For those events, for the past 30 years, New Orleanians have been calling Nicole's Limousine and Shuttle Service. The president and owner of the company is Mike Nicole. Mike, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thanks for having me.
Now, most of us can't take a limo every day. For the other more mundane days of the year, you have to drive yourself. And that means at some point, you have to do something that's both exciting and one of the most dreaded human experiences besides root canal. You have to buy a car. There are a number of ways you can do that, all of which involve an element of risk about what you're buying and a good chance you paid too much for it. That is, until now. A new web-based platform called ReDrive is changing the way we buy a car. It started right here in New Orleans, and its co-founder is Max Berwick. Max, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Glad to be here.
Now, Mike, I'll start with you. You've grown your business the old-fashioned way. You started out with one car, driving it yourself. You've gradually built up the business to where you now have a fleet of limos, town cars, a Rolls Royce, a stretch Hummer, and a bunch of buses and more. I guess you need to have all these elements in place to run a car service, but I imagine that most of these cars are needed on weekends or special occasions, and for most of the week, they're sitting idle. Is that right, or is the demand more constant?
It depends. Like, during the week, if there's a convention in town, they're all running. Right now, we're getting ready to kick off our conventions probably in September, and they all start coming back to here, and those are the good times, September all the way through, I would say, the end of June. Summertime's a little slow.
Now, you have to make big decisions every day. Like, you recently got a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, a 12-seater. That's probably very expensive. How do you make those decisions about whether it's going to be worth it?
Well, let me tell you, I look back at myself 30 years, and I started with one limo. You got to change with the times, or you're going to be out of business. And I, at the first few years, I had a couple limos, and the next thing I know, I had buses, and I had Rolls Royces, and stretch Hummers, and limo buses. So now, after 30 years even, times are changing. Limousines are getting kind of out of style almost. And the big vehicles now are shuttle buses, where you get big groups of people going together, and the SUVs, like an Uber car, but they want more of a personal driver.
Now, the one thing I always think about is you have those great billboards where you're in the back seat of a limo and two women are kissing you. I guess the first thing, does your wife know about this?
Well, one of them is my wife.
Oh, all right. Okay, that's a lot better.
And the other one is my vice president. And the way we were smiling, I had my sister-in-law behind the camera guy, and she did some things that we all were laughing at, and that's how we all had big smiles on.
Now, you started, your dad was in construction, you were with him. What made you make this change? I mean, were you out in the hot sun and thought, limos?
I had my dad gave me like $8,000, and construction went down in 87. Yeah. He says, here's $8,000, and I'm going, what am I going to do with that? So I bought my first car, and when it first came in, I even slept in it when it came in, and like a little kid. And I started driving, and I drove for probably 10 years, and it's crazy.
And I bet there's a big difference between driving your own car and running an organization like this. That must have been a stretch.
Well, my car is a Rolls Royce, so I use it for the bride. So I use it for the weddings as well. So
wow. Did you drive it here today?
No.
Because they would have put it right out front of Commander's. Yeah. That's a big deal. Now, Max, I'm sure you have to explain redrive 10 times a day. You have the explanation now down to a science. So walk me through what I do to buy a car on redrive, and why is it different from the online car buying and sales site CarMax, for example?
Sure. So redrive, in essence, is an online dealership with an endless inventory. So we have access to every single car in the nation that's being sold wholesale or through an auction house. And normally, as a car buyer, you would never have an option to purchase anything on the back end. So what we're doing, CarMax doesn't do this. Nobody else does this.
And these are all pre-owned?
They're all pre-owned.
Okay.
We are going to get into new. That is the next level for us. However, this is the easiest place to start. And those relationships take some time to build. So realistically, what you do is you give us a call, or you can go through the website, and you let us know what you want to buy. And most of the time, you really don't know what you want to buy. You have an idea of what you don't want to buy, what you don't want to spend, what you don't want to do. And that's because you're used to fighting with a car salesman, right? Or you're used to fighting for what you want. In this case, what we're doing is we're taking a customer-centric approach, which is, all right, talking to you, finding out what you really want out of the car, what you use it for, how much you're going to be driving with it, what your budget is. And from that information, we help you determine a range of cars that are available in your local area or around the country. And then from there, we can have the car shipped to you if you choose to purchase it.
Well, the front end is different right there. You're not asking them to come up with, I want a 2013 blue Jeep. You're asking more of what they really might need.
Yeah, not only what you might need, Unlike a dealership where you're limited to what's in stock there, and they're going to try to push whatever's in stock there, right? We have an endless supply, so whatever's on the market anywhere, we can find you it. So if you have, I was talking to somebody yesterday, they want a new R8 or 2011 R8, right? Very specific white, black interior with the black fins on it, right? I have no idea where to get this offhand, but I can certainly tell you in a few hours, if it's available, we'll find it for them and have it delivered to them.
And where does the test drive come in?
So test drives are difficult, right? Because it's not centered where you are, the car isn't there. So in this case, you may not get a test drive, which is not, it's not too far away from where the model is going. So you see a lot of other people in the industry right now. So you have BP, or you have Vroom, or you have Shift. And not all these companies are allowing for test drives because the cars aren't located where the customers are. So in essence, what the dealership or what we would have to do in this situation is we have to make sure that the car is reliable so that way you can trust us as a brand and not have to test drive the car.
So what's involved in that? Is there a standard number of things you look at the car, like check them off,
yes,
something like that?
Yeah, so we do a 150-point inspection conducted by an ASE-certified mechanic. So we can't say that that the car is quote-unquote certified because that's a technical term owned by certain dealerships and companies, but we can say that it's been inspected by an ASE-certified mechanic.
Wow. Now, the whole model, though, is changing, right? For instance, I was doing some reading on Tesla. Tesla's kind of a non-dealership kind of approach. What are they doing?
So really what they've done is they've just created a distribution point in malls. And I guess you could say this is almost akin to the Amazon model, whereas you can try it out. You can see it there. They don't sell you. I don't know if you've ever taken a Tesla for a test drive.
And driving a Tesla in a mall sounds very, very weird.
Yes. good. When you take the car like for Tesla for a test drive, they don't try to sell you on anything. Literally, they just take you for a test drive in the car. You go in the car. They let you fly down the street at 70 miles an hour. I don't know if I could say that. But anyway, you get to take the car for a solid test drive. They don't ever ask you if you really want to buy it. They don't push anything. And then at the end of the day or at the end of the ride, they just say, okay, we'll see you later. And that's it. And then they follow up with an email, and then you contact them when you're ready to buy.
So you don't wait outside while the guy talks to his manager and you sweat, and I would really miss that part.
No, I mean, I know it's an awful thing. I mean, there's no bad coffee,
very bad daytime television.
Yeah. But
something a lot of people wouldn't expect is you're a pretty macho guy. You were in the Navy as a rescue swimmer.
Yes.
And but all the things I see about you post that are you're kind of a techno business, kind of startup guy. How did all that get going?
Oh my God. So I was doing the macho thing up until the middle of undergraduate. I was actually preparing to go into a different unit in the Air Force, and I got injured doing CrossFit, and my life changed. So I decided to go to law school. And didn't know much about that world. But by the second year of law school, I had realized that the law had finite bounds on it and that business didn't. And from that point on, I spent the second year, from second year of law school, just learning about business, learning about math, about science, about computer programming, different functional programming elements. So,
now, what about the fact that, you know, you're not originally from New Orleans? When did you get here, and why are you here?
Okay, so
we're very glad you're here. By the way, there's we could use more Maxes.
I love being here, and honestly, I would say this, that I think that if I wouldn't have come here, I would never have founded this company, and also I don't think that I would have gotten the support that I needed to get this company off the ground. I'd say this, that about the entrepreneurial community here, it's incredibly supportive, and also there's an interest in seeing people succeed. So that was definitely something I got here and something that I personally needed. Wow. My girlfriend, Veronica, is from here, and you know, we're just talking, and she showed me pictures of Audubon Park, and I was like, wow, this is really beautiful. And she told me about living here, and I said, all right, let's go try it out there. Let's go see what's up. And and that was really how it got started.
Wow. Well, I've heard that from other entrepreneurs, that it's a very welcoming community and less competitive against each other, more trying to help each other. Yeah. So you're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. My guests are Max Berwick, co-founder of web-based car sales platform Redrive, and the owner of Nicole's Limousine and Shuttle, Mike Nicole. Mike, you've probably had some pretty amazing experiences in those limousines. Are you like a priest where you can't talk about that? Or forgive me, limousine driver, for I have sinned.
Well, some of the things, yeah, probably won't have to say. I mean, I have had.
What if I promised to cut it out of the show?
I've had some characters in my car. I mean, if I had cameras in the back, it'd probably have a little reality
show.
Oh, yeah,
that would be the.
Or if they just followed me around, I could have a reality show.
Somehow I get the feeling that's correct, Mike. I don't know. You mentioned everybody's changing the kind of vehicles they want to drive. Do you ever think of expanding beyond where you are now?
I'll tell you, honestly, this past year I kind of downsized. And I'm not the only company that's doing it. I would say most all the companies are doing it. I think the Uber is taking I've been through Katrina, bounce back.
Yep.
Been through BP, bounce back. Been through the economy, bounced back. Uber's kind of took a little bit of a toll on the industry. It's kind of changing it a little bit. So sometimes you got to go backwards to go forwards again.
Right.
And that's after 30 years in business, that's where I'm at right now. So I've cut back probably 10 vehicles in this last year. And I could probably do as much of those cars I have now, like I have 30, and make the money work, and those cars are working all the time, rather than having those extra 10 floating around out there.
You're working smarter, I guess. How long do these limousines, how much do they cost, and how long do they last?
Well, the first one I bought was like $42,000.
But that was in 1901 or something.
1817. Back WW. but now the limousines are probably close to $100,000.
Wow.
Just the limousines. Now, I got limo buses that are close to
$200,000.
Man. My Hummer that I bought the first one I bought was the actual H1. And that one was like about $120,000.
Who decides, which kind of group uses the Hummer?
Well, when I first got that.
Rescue swimmers like yourself, probably kind of a macho thing.
The big thing was the proms. The kids loved it, you know. We would go to the lakefront. I was driving back then. We would wear fatigues, and it was kind of cool. We went along with the program, and then we would drive on a levee and hope no cops saw us. And the kids loved it, you know. We just at the lakefront, they get the little small levees. We drove up there and got off kind of quick, and the kids went crazy over it. But the Hummers were kind of big for proms.
Now, where do you find drivers now?
Drivers are tough. Drivers, I have one driver that's been with me about 20-something years. It's been with me a long time. Drivers, it's tough out there, you know.
Because you've really got to check these folks out.
They're not many chauffeurs out there no more. Yeah. You know, I was talking about a driver who drives me now, and this guy was a CEO of a company that he stepped down, and he's driving now. And this guy is a chauffeur. I mean, he's doing everything right. He drove us this past weekend, my wife and I, to eat, and it was our anniversary, and I told him to go get some power balls for me. And he came back, and on the back seat, he had napkins for the drinks made for me. And he also had, like, sanitary to clean my hands and all. And I said, where'd this guy come from? And he gets to my office. He takes an hour before, cleans the car. The cars are clean, but he gets and inspects them. Yep. I mean, this guy is unbelievable.
Those are hard to find.
Those are hard to find.
No, earlier when we were getting ready for the show, I thought of the... of taking an Uber to your own, to a funeral. That really, I thought about that. No, you're right. We can't do that. But yeah. Now, Mike Max is the part of the show that we like to call your brother-in-law. You're heading home after a day at work. You're looking forward to watching Netflix. When your phone rings, it's your brother-in-law. Normally, he only calls when he wants to borrow a car. But this time, things are a little different. He wants some advice. So, Mike, I'll start with you. Your brother-in-law says he's starting a new business. He's got a custom shop in Los Angeles that's going to build him a Tesla limo. He's going to the bank to get money. He wants to know, will you guarantee the loan for him?
I say, don't do it.
Don't do it. Okay.
Those cars, I mean, back in the day, they were stretching Corvettes, stretching Lamborghinis, and those are people that you're not going to get your money out of it. So I would tell him, do not. Signed, we're not back you up.
So it seems cool, but...
Seems cool, but it's just for looks and for maybe a promotional mention.
All right. We saved him some money there. They probably saved you some money. He was the one trying to...
Got to sign a loan.
Now, Max, your brother-in-law tells you he's got a great new idea for a car service like Uber. It's aimed at moms who are sick of spending hours every day ferrying kids around. The business is called Mommy Van Beethoven. He needs your help in writing a business plan. What would you tell him?
No.
No.
No. No, but seriously, I would say first place is I can't help you until you do the research. You got to research this. You got to know what you're talking about. It's a great idea. Ideas are wonderful. And the reality is that, A, can you execute on this? And
Size of the market? I guess you need some.
Size of the market. Do you know what the technological needs are going to be? Do you know whether Uber, the back end of Uber, is going to be able to help you? But primarily, don't do that. Go do something else because Uber probably has you beat on this, and they probably already thought it out already.
I like that recent story where Uber was going to have driverless cars, which it's funny. I talk to my students at Tulane. They think that's the coolest thing they've ever heard. It makes me want to never leave the house. But it's a very different approach. And Mike, I could ask you, you'd mentioned when you have a slight downsize, who buys limos? Is there a market?
Over the years, I've bought many, many cars all over the United States from different coach builders. And I made a rapport with them. And now, since I bought cars now, I'm trying to reciprocate. Hey, guys, I need to move my cars now. Can you help me try to sell it? I got two guys in California that are trying to help me sell two cars right now that's helped me out.
And is there an association?
There's a limo association, New Orleans Limo Association that we have here. And
then nationally, there must be a...
There's a national NLA, National Limousine Association, that you could belong to.
Wow.
I've been on it.
I was in Washington once, and I looked at the marquee of a conference I was speaking at, and the other speaker was speaking to the Association of Associations. So I figured it's getting rough out there. Now, Max, what did you do in planning out this business? Obviously, you saw a need that the current plan, the one, for instance, CarMax shoes, could be better. What did you do next?
Well, I went to a whiteboard first.
Okay.
What happened was a friend of mine pitched me on the idea, and I nearly fell out of my seat because I saw immediately the first question you always have is there scale, right? Is there scale, and what's the barrier to entry? And I saw that this has incredible scale, and the barriers to entry could be low. So go to a whiteboard. I mean, I was doing the Operation Spark programming school here, and literally what we'd do is after class would end, we would stay in the, then it was, I think it was some kind of a after school project kind of a place, and we would stay upstairs in the whiteboard area till, you know, past midnight, just boarding out the concept. And then once we saw whether it was viable, then with this particular approach, only going piece by piece as far as what to execute first. So first thing would be, can we get agreements with lending companies that would be willing to work with us?
And yeah. so that part worked, and then you started moving on?
Yeah, that part worked. And surprisingly, with startups, the big thing is, can you pivot, and are you willing to change your plans as everything goes along? And I would say that plan that night at that whiteboard looks nothing like what we're doing today. and Sunday will look nothing like it will next Saturday.
Now, is it up and running?
Yes, it's up and running. We just completed our beta. So we're actually going to be taking down the site later on this week. And from there, we're going to be doing a different user experience build. So it's intuitive as far as being able to collect the data. So instead of you calling in necessarily to give us your information, we'll have questions that will be able to better suit your needs.
Whether they're gas-powered, diesel, electric, chauffeured, or driverless, in a manner of speaking, cars are not going anywhere. They are an integral part of the life of almost every society on Earth. Between powering them up and buying and selling them, cars account for a significant segment of the U.S. and global economy. Max, we wish you the best of luck in revolutionizing the way we buy and sell cars. Mike, we thank you for the countless memorable weddings, proms, and other critical family and business occasions that you've been a part of for the past 3 decades in New Orleans.
Thank you.
It's been great to meet you both. Thanks for joining me today on Out to Lunch.
Thank you.
My guests on Out to Lunch have been Mike Nicol, president and owner of Nicol's Limousine and Shuttle, and Max Berwick, co-founder of ReDrive. You can find out more about Mike's limos and Max's car market by following the links on our websites, itsneworleans.com and wwno.org. Our show is recorded live over lunch at Commander's Palace in New Orleans. Commander's Palace serves lunch Monday through Friday, jazz brunch on Saturday and Sunday, with live music and dinner 7 nights a week. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our researcher is Matthew Ellefson. Mitch Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. Mitch's music can be found wherever great jazz is streamed or stolen, and at mitchellforeman.com. You can get the show as a podcast. You can listen to past shows. You can keep up with us on all kinds of social media by going to our websites, wwno.org and itsneworleans.com. If you want to know what we look like, and we're like the models at car shows, or really are they, you can find photos from this show on our website and Facebook page. The photos were taken today by Allison Moon. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. I'm Peter Ricciuti. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the table here at Commander's Palace for more business New Orleans style on Out to Lunch.
Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, joneswalker.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers' Comp and 30 North Investments.